Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you're King of Kings, you're Alpha and you're Omega, you're beginning and you're the end. We come before you humbly that you may open our eyes and ears, that we may be able to see you and that we may be able to hear from you. Come, Holy Spirit, and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Rejoicing when expectations meet delay. Rejoicing when expectations meet delay. Today is the third Sunday in Advent and often called Gaudete Sunday. It might seem a little ironic that in a season marked by earnest watching and longing and repenting as we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to rejoice. Gaudete is a Latin word that means rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known to all, for the Lord is near at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. As the nights get darker, the days grow longer, and the tensions and the anticipation rises as we wait, we rejoice. Surely the Lord is coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. You're supposed to say that part. Surely the Lord is coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Our gospel reading today points us to a very important turning point in salvation history. It marks the beginning of a new era as the long-awaited Messiah confirms his arrival. For the context, the Apostle Matthew writes to the Jews that he has a specific group of people in mind, and his intention is to show them ample evidence of the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies so that they might be able to accept Christ and follow him. This is why he begins with genealogy, starting from Abraham to King David and to Jesus, carefully showing the divine plan that highlights Jesus as the rightful heir to the throne. One thing to note is that King David left an indelible mark on the life and history of the nation of Israel. By defeating all their enemies, he essentially made Israel a superpower in his time. It was a shadow of what was to come. And after his kingship, Yahweh promised David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12, saying, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." This was an amazing promise for the covenant people. And they had been waiting for this promised Messiah for a long, long time. Surely the Lord is coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. To give you an estimate, a rough estimate, they had been waiting for at least 400 years. The intertestamental period, the time between the Old and the New Testament, was a season when God was silent. It was a dark time that made the nation of Israel long to hear God speak. And then to make matters worse, they were not free, but living under the Roman Empire. It is in this context that John the Baptist came along, preaching repentance and baptizing people in the Jordan River. John the Baptist was a stern, uncompromising, bold, and passionate prophet. He was not afraid of anyone or anything. He lived a very simple life in the wilderness, clothed in a garment of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. He knew his calling, he understood his assignment, and he gave his very best to do the will of God. And at this point in the gospel narrative, however, John had been in prison for almost a year. While carrying out his prophetic ministry, he saw an immoral behavior in Herod and condemned it publicly. Herod had married his brother's wife while his brother was still alive. This was unacceptable, and John did the right thing by calling it sin. But this led to his imprisonment and eventually to his death. Surely the Lord is coming soon.
Amen.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. But something isn't adding up. If Jesus is the promised Messiah, why is John the Baptist in prison? It had been prophesied that when the Messiah comes, out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will leap like a deer, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the dead will live. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. And the poor will have the good news preached to them. But what about the prison? What about the suffering? The reality seemed opposite of what John expected. One of the things the Messiah would do was to free those in bondage, yet John the Baptist was in prison. He was suffering, and he knew that his ministry in this world was coming to an end. What went wrong? How could John reconcile the truth that he had passionately proclaimed with the reality that he was facing in the prison? Surely the Lord is coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Remember, John had seen heaven open, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and resting on Jesus. And he had heard the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." While in prison, he also heard about the deeds of Jesus Christ. So John sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" What happened? Why is John even asking this question? Some theologians think that he was in a doubt. Others think that he was asking for the sake of his disciples. But regardless, imprisonment at a time when the Messiah had arrived was not something that John had expected. He was in a moment of crisis. He was in a storm. He was tested, but his faith remained strong and his conviction deep. But his expectations has been shaken. John's circumstances had changed for the worse. He was languishing in prison with no hope of freedom. He knew deep down that Jesus is stronger than Herod. Yes, the blind see. Yes, the deaf hear. Yes, the lame leap like a deer. But when will the Messiah thoroughly purge the threshing floor, gather wheat into his barn and burn the chaff? When will he judge the world? In this painful season of John's life, he reached out to the Lord, searching for an honest and urgent confirmation. Scripture tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Yet even in one of the most trying moments in his life, John still reached out to Jesus. Jesus responded by pointing to the evidence. "Go and tell John what you hear and what you see." All that was prophesied was being fulfilled. It is the dashed expectations that led to the crowd to demand Jesus to be crucified. But John still stood his ground. "Surely the Lord is coming soon."
Amen.
Then Jesus advocated for John the Baptist as a man of integrity. John was not gullible like a reed shaken by the wind. Nor was he someone seeking position of power. He was more than a prophet, Jesus said. And Jesus affirmed that he was the promised Elijah. John the Baptist was reliable because he had been tested and proven brave and true. He stood as the watershed moment in God's redemptive history, fulfilling all Testament prophecy. He had had the privilege of handing the baton to Jesus like a runner in a relay. He saw, he heard, and experienced the presence of God in a uniquely profound way. Among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. What a testimony. Yet, Jesus adds, the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This statement puts everything into perspective. Our finite minds cannot fully comprehend the glory and majesty of being in the presence of the Creator of heaven and earth. As followers of Christ, we are being transformed daily and sanctified by the Holy Spirit as we prepare for glorification in heaven. Greatness in this world cannot be compared to greatness in the kingdom of heaven. Surely the Lord is coming soon. Come, come, Lord Jesus. Apostle Peter puts it this way. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In this world, believers will face trials and tribulations. Christians have been persecuted and are still being persecuted and will be persecuted for their faith until the second coming of Jesus. We are called to stand firm in the face of oppositions, persecutions, and temptations. And Jesus adds, the violent take it by force. This is a little confusing for a lot, and theologians argue a lot about it, but Thomas Aquinas helps us here by explaining it this way. He says, they are violent not against others, but against themselves, resisting sin, restraining passions, and pressing into the kingdom. He who has ears, let him hear. And the last thing Jesus does in this passage is pass out his generation. Jesus knows how to read his times, and so does John. That generation in Jesus' time, he's comparing them to being like a children, sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. Basically, they were saying, you did not play by our rules, so we will label you as misfits. They called Jesus a glutton and a drunkard because he befriended the tax collectors and the sinners. And they said John has a demon because he removed himself. He separated himself from them, refused to drink. And they said he has a demon. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Surely the Lord is coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. So how does this passage apply to us today? When Jesus heard that John had been arrested in chapter 4, verses 17, he began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He basically took, at the end of John's ministry, he basically took upon himself to continue the ministry of John the Baptist. And after choosing his disciples and training them for almost 3 years, Jesus told them to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28:19-20. So you and I today are here this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ seeking to grow in faith and make disciples. We are privileged to have the scripture and the witness of the Holy Spirit to help us mature in faith. In addition, we have faithful people who have gone ahead of us, whose lives are a model for us to emulate because of their steadfastness in extremely difficult times. John the Baptist stands as a man of faith, whose character and integrity are outstanding. He stood for what he believed, and he was ready to die for his faith. Just like John the Baptist, you and I are called and commissioned into the world. And so as you live your life in this world at this particular time in human history, how are you representing God's kingdom? Are you like a reed tossed about by the wind? The world around us is playing a tune, and it's demanding that you dance to it. Our cultural norm is calling for compromises of the faith that we hold so dear. But if we stand our ground and prioritize our faith over everything else, we will be the odd ones out. But it's okay. It's okay to swim against the currents or to walk a lonely path or to lose certain privileges in our society for the sake of our faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, build your house on the rock. When the rain falls and the floods come, and when the winds beat on your house, it will not fall because of it being found on the rock. We may shake and shiver a little bit, but we stand on the rock of all ages. Sometimes it might feel like you're not going to make it through, but hold on and wait on the Lord. God is always on the way. God always has a way out. Elizabeth Elliot said, and I quote, "Waiting on God requires the willingness to bear uncertainty, to carry within oneself the unanswered question." Waiting on God requires the willingness to bear uncertainty, to carry within oneself the unanswered question. What unanswered questions do you have? John the Baptist had one, and he asked Jesus. Elizabeth Elliot probably had a couple. Her husband, Jim, was speared to death with others while attempting to take good news of the gospel to the Arauca people of eastern Ecuador. She had a 10-month-old daughter at that time. That is a big one. Why would God let that happen? I don't think she understood it at that time. Rather, even when she couldn't understand, she trusted the Lord and had faith. Later, she spent 2 years as a missionary to the tribe members who killed her husband. Surely the Lord is coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. As I conclude, what do you do when expectations meet delay? What do you do when you get that diagnosis that you dread? When your business that you gave it all goes under? What do you do when your heart so much, but those you trust, but those you love? It requires the willingness to accept unexplainable circumstances. Why? Because we trust the Lord. We believe that regardless of our circumstances, Jesus will bring to fulfillment all the things he has promised. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the theologians, in one of his Advent sermons said, "The celebration of Advent is possible only to those who are troubled in soul, who knows themselves to be poor and imperfect, and who look forward to something greater to come." Brothers and sisters, as you wait for the coming of the Lord, be alert. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you discern the time so that you may know and avoid the pitfalls of our time. Be prepared. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming. Keep your house in order. Keep your lamps burning. Live an honest life and desire a holy living, so that when he comes, he will find you ready. And lastly, persevere in hope. Sometimes pain and suffering may dull our passions, but have confidence in God that all his promises will be fulfilled, regardless of the contrary circumstances that befalls us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known to all, for the Lord is near at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Surely the Lord is coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. O God, by whom the meek are guided in judgment, and light rises up in darkness for the godly, grant us in all our weaknesses and uncertainties the grace to ask what you would have us to do, that in your light we may see light, that in your path may not stumble. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.